Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park, and also in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida, and you can visit ellenbecker.com for more details. So my guest today is Mindy Farrell, co-owner of Treasured Estates and Cleanout, a cleanout and junk removal company in southeastern Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Mindy.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this. I think there's so much to think about when you've got a house full of stuff, because we all have the stuff.
Right.
Stuff's not going away on its own.
Exactly.
It's a whole nother show.
It doesn't grow legs and walk, right?
Exactly. To slow down the stuff coming into our lives. Again, that would be a whole different show. But this is really more about, what do we do when we no longer need that stuff?
Right.
Especially in big ways, when it's a downsizing.
Sure.
Right? Leaving the family home and going to a smaller space.
Right.
Maybe even into a senior residential community for assisted living, or at the end when there's a death involved, right?
Right.
And there's so many things in a big or small space that need to be dealt with. A lot of people may be having to deal with that.
Yes.
You know, when I think about how overwhelming and paralyzing that could be, that's when I'd love to talk about what a company like yours does.
Sure.
We can just start there, like what a company like yours does.
What do we do? You call us up and we will come in and we will take a look at what is there. You know, we do a walkthrough. I always insist on a walkthrough because I like to see what is physically there, because someone can say, oh, well, it's a lot of stuff. And then I get there and, well, your lot of stuff and my lot of stuff is very different, you know, or there's not a lot of stuff. And I go, yes, there is a lot of stuff.
Right.
We're going to need a few more weeks longer than we thought. you know, so we always like to see what's there, because there could be some really neat things, or family is like, oh, we're looking for this. Can you help us find that? You know, and I've had a few conversations where I've started the walkthrough and the family's like, you know, we've been trying to find this or that. And, you know, I'll just kind of be looking through drawers because I need to see what I'm getting myself into. And I'm like, hey, I think I found this piece of paper that you were looking for. They're like, what? Was right here in front of my face.
Yeah.
You know, one of those things. So we do the walkthrough, help people see what they need to do.
And to, like, release.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. You know, we ask a lot. I will ask a lot of questions. You know, when does it need to be done by?
Right.
You know, is there anything in particular that is going to be staying with the family? We use blue tape. So we tell people to put blue tape on the stuff that is going to be, you're going to be keeping, so that we know when our crew comes in, they know to look for the blue tape. If there's blue tape on anything, they don't touch it. Or
it
if they have to touch it to move it to get something out of the way, everything goes in one place.
Right.
You know.
Well, and even talking about this, like a walkthrough and kind of having the family figure out the timing that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're providing a service that
Correct.
Walks them through that. You know, part of this discussion is I'm going to even keep kind of like a do-it-yourself lens on it, right?
Sure.
That's an important level set at the beginning of this kind of project.
Yes.
Is what is the timing needed? Can I do that myself?
can, how many family members do I have to bring in? Or does it make even more sense just to hire out for parts or all of it?
Sure. What we do is, because when you have your items, everything is sentimental to you. You pick up something and it's all, oh, I remember when mom and I did this, or I remember when dad and I did this, or grandma and grandpa did that. So you have these sentimental connections. What we're able to do is, we're not connected to these items sentimentally, and we're able to take them and, you know, remove them without crying as it's leaving the house, because that was what happened when we were doing my own grandmother's house. It was a very difficult process because it's very emotional. You don't realize how emotionally crippling it can be to do something. So if you have to have your family do it, or can someone else come alongside you and, you know, help you get through that situation? So
yeah, I think that being able to appropriately remove emotion around it.
Yes.
Right. You're not looking at a house of things and thinking that they don't have emotions tied to them.
Right.
Each and everything might very well have an emotion tied behind it. That, again, is where I would think that would be, can become somewhat paralyzing.
Yes.
You know, with the fear of losing or giving up something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So listening, that's a lot of what we do. What we center our client relationships around is listening and being able to help from with that outside perspective.
Yes.
You know, that kind of can help maybe more informed decisions be made. Okay, so you do the walkthrough.
Yep.
And we can talk a little bit later about what a pricing model is.
Sure.
But you have the walkthrough, you have the timeline. What do you do with the stuff?
So what we do with the stuff is, we reduce, reuse, recycle, and try to place things. So we have the donation. So one of the things that we've done is, we've helped a family who was living in the Salvation Army. I had a friend who had come to me to Facebook and said, oh, we just need a table for a young man who is just wants to be able to sit down and have dinner with his family, because they had just, all seven of them, moved out of Salvation Army and needed, and had an apartment and needed all of this stuff. So my business partner and I said to my friend, why don't you bring them to our facility and we will do so much more. So what we ended up doing was, my mom heard about this and she wanted to participate. And so she bought brand new pillows for each of the kids, blankets, and matching sheet set, so that they could all have their own individual thing. And we brought them to the facility, sat them down at the table, served them dinner with the plates and the forks and the knives and everything, and said, this is your table that you can have dinner at. The dad himself started crying. He was bawling because he couldn't believe that someone would be so giving. So we were able to give them blue pieces of tape. They went through our entire facility and took everything that they needed with them that they could take, and then we delivered it to their apartment for free for them. And one of the boys, it was close to his mom's birthday, we had some jewelry, and he said, for one of my items, could I give my mom a piece of jewelry? Would I be able to take a piece of jewelry from my mom?
Right.
So, you know, grandma's or your mom's piece of jewelry was given to someone, you know, and it wasn't just donated, it was, we could facilitate where it's going. It's not just going to some place. It's going to an individual that we know was so thankful and so grateful.
That's a meaningful, curated type of way, right? To reuse, to do that donation side. It's hard to even call it just a donation. That's like, I think you would use the word placement.
Correct.
Right? That's a placement service. And I think that that's pretty meaningful. Again, even from a if you're going to do this yourself, you know, having that mindset can slow a person down.
Yep.
So depending on that timeline that the family's working with, you know, trying to really find the best place for something.
Yeah.
You know, someone that I know was trying to downsize and do that herself as well. And I think that was where, you know, it was slowing her down so much, because she knew she wanted this box of t-shirts to go to this very specific ministry, right?
Correct.
And that was, I think, meant a lot to her, you know, this was a downsizing situation. So,
yeah.
So I think it can really help a person feel even better about where they're, kind of what the reason is behind them having to get rid of stuff.
Right, right. You know, that your stuff is not just going to end up from the truck to the landfill. You know, it goes from the house to our facility, and we sort through it. As we're going through, we've had people that have said, hey, we're looking for A, B, C, D, F, and G, and we've been able to help them find those things as we're going through. And they've been very, very thankful. We've even done a clean out where they had packed all the garbage up, what they thought was garbage, and we're like, just leave it. We'll just take it all. They're like, you're serious? You're going to take the garbage and all? We're like, we take it all.
Yeah.
We went through the garbage, and Mom was still alive, mind you, and still mm-hmm. in her right mind. And we found the will in the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even know that Mom had a will. So, you know, you don't realize when you're so stressed, you don't pay attention to what you are throwing away. You're thinking, oh, it's just a piece of paper. No, right. it was Mom's actual
will. And you get kind of caught up in the moment, and you're trying to help, and you think something's got an old date on it or that must have been redone more recently. And, you know, as a financial planner, thinking of somebody's will having gone in the trash or even in recycling, mm-hmm. that kind of, you know, cracked my heart a little bit there.
Right.
But because that's really, really important to keep all your ducks in a row.
Right.
And that just over time, things get spread out. They get in a lot of different places. So, again, a little side note is to always keep inventory of your important documents and keep them together. Make sure your family knows what's important and what's not, for whether they're helping you or whether you're gone and it's stuff they need.
Definitely.
Well, let's take a short break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we'll talk some more about the ways that we look at cleaning out our history of stuff.
Wonderful. Thank
we'll
you.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor for Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is Mindy Farrell, co-owner of Treasured Estates and Cleanout. And we've been talking about when a person, a family, a group, I think you also do this for not just residential but businesses, so we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Correct.
When we need to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
So you walked us through how you approach the reuse side of it, the donating side of it, which I think is a great way for all of us to consider making sure that the items that you want to give away go to the place or the best use.
Sure.
I love that.
Thank you.
What about the items that have value?
Mm-hmm.
Like when we think of maybe a typical estate sale or an approach that's more about trying to sell items.
Okay.
What have you seen? Like, what are the things to think about if I was going to do that for myself or if I was going to work with a company to do that?
Sure. So we don't do the estate sales anymore. Mm-hmm. But however, we walk people through. So if you were going to do an estate sale, first things first, you need to go through the house and see all of the stuff that you want to take out and make sure nothing that you want to keep is in that house. Because when people come through for an estate sale, anything and everything that is not nailed down, they are going to take.
Right. It's a little harder to say no.
I am not kidding. And they will, you know, if the bathrooms are not closed off and everything else, if you don't want someone to go into that room, you have to have someone stand guard in front of that room or watch that, because people will just, everything, they consider everything in that house is for sale, which is kind of funny. Even the plunger from the toilet. you know, we've had people, when we were doing estate sales, that was one thing that someone walked out with was just the plunger. You know, it's the craziest thing, but you know. So everything is for sale. So if you need help getting things together, we suggest putting all the like items together. You know, you don't realize that when you have your bath, you have more than one bathroom, or you have your kitchen, all the cleaners, put all the cleaners together in one spot. You know, put all the knickknacks and everything. Try and kind of make it like a little store as people are going through.
With departments.
With departments. You know, you've got all your tools and everything else like that. You know, you don't realize with all the stuff that's in the garage, all of those items, you know, people will come and buy that stuff. You know, price it appropriately. If you want to have stuff to go, make sure that you have it priced that way.
Right.
You know, and anybody who wants to call and talk to me about how to run an estate sale further, I'm more than happy to walk you through that, you know, and explain where you need to go, put their sales on estatesales.net, just not just Facebook Marketplace, you know, or Nextdoor. So, you know, you want to make sure you're also keeping yourself safe by not posting the address until a few days before the sale, because you don't want people
knowing there's nobody living there right now, because it's set up like a store.
Yes. So you really want to make sure. So, you know, that's something that you would like to do.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I think too, when I think about sales, you know, that you can sell anything if you have a customer.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So it's also, like you said, posting about the sales in the right places to get people that are going to be interested in your items.
Correct.
Or in your grandma's items or whatever.
Sure.
To get the more likelihood that you're going to get a little bit of value out of it, and it's going to leave the house.
Exactly. One less thing, you know. But then what do you do with all, when you have the estate sale, what do you do with all of the stuff afterwards?
Right.
We've had people that have had the estate sale and called us and said, we just need everything to go away. Can you just come make it go away? You know, that's something that we've done.
And that's kind of back more to the clean out.
Correct.
Then you guys kick back in at the clean out stage.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And so when we come through to do the walkthrough, you know, you want to know about how much it costs to.
Like how do you price your services? And then you don't do the estate sales, but you've probably come across things of value in the homes that maybe no one else either realizes are valuable, or it's too small for them to do their own sale.
Correct. So what we do is we come, like part of the walkthrough is I look at what could I resell to keep your prices down. You know, if I see things that I go, okay, well, I can recoup this on the back end. So we are able to work with people with their prices.
Sure.
You know, and we've had a few people who weren't able to pay us, so we were able to take payment after the house had sold.
Okay, sure.
You know, so we're very flexible with that, or we've been able to do payment plans for people. So that's something that we're able to do. So, you know, I see value in all sorts of different stuff that other people are like, what do you mean that's valuable? Or you can do something with that. There's something that's called ephemera, and it's a very unique, interesting word. And ephemera is actually old paper and old pictures. So that's something that people go crazy over, or the old cards from the 40s and 50s.
Right.
That's, you know, everybody's just tossing all those old cards that have something written in them from grandma and grandpa, but there are people that love to collect that stuff. So the things that you think are garbage, that's why I tell people, please don't throw anything away, because I do have people that are in love with those things. So your family's members' items are not just being tossed.
And that is interesting, especially with the old photos where there's so many.
Correct.
And not all of them have meaning to the family. But then it's difficult to think, who would want a picture of relatives of mine that I don't even know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had people that, you know, are like a Chihuahua lovers, and they collect old Chihuahua pictures because they love to make cards out of those, and they do their own crafting and stuff. So it's interesting what people use or reuse within a house. So that's why we really don't like to toss things out unless we really absolutely have to.
Yeah, that's that experience and connection and the lens that an outside party can help with as well.
Right.
And so when it comes again to the pricing, that is your service is a service for fee, like everybody else's is.
Correct. You know, but I try not to have my prices like the other companies, because it's not just going straight, like not from straight from the house to the dump.
Sure. So. And so before we were recording, we were talking about that, and you mentioned in the story of the family that you outfitted with an apartment was from the warehouse.
Correct.
And so you don't necessarily have dumpsters at the property you're cleaning out. You're going to bring it all someplace else to properly take time to sort.
Yes, and make sure that it is something that can be used or sold. Mm-hmm. So we again, it's really the reduce, reuse, and recycle. So You know, right. That's one of the things that is very important. We try to keep as much stuff out of the landfill as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right, for sure. And I think that it can be so tiresome when you get going into cleaning out something.
Yes.
That eventually everything starts to look like it's just supposed to go to trash.
Yes. Yes. And or you want to keep it all because you're like, oh, I think this is good. Oh, I think this is good. So to just know what is good and what is not good. Just makes it so much easier for, we take that emotional attachment away and are able to sort through it properly.
Right. Well, and I think too, also, eliminating, sometimes there's too many voices, right?
Right.
And it's not about, I shouldn't say it's eliminating voices, but it is turning over the decision making to somebody different.
Yes.
You know, when you think about whether if it's a family having to make the decisions on what stays or goes or could be resold or should be donated somewhere, at some point that can be more difficult to do within the family.
Yes.
You know, I could see where, you know, again, the sentimentality makes a lot of sense to kind of carve off. Things of value make sense to carve off. You do some of that from a pricing perspective.
Right.
I think the ways that I look at this conversation too is just about the way that we have to think of it if we wanted to do everything ourselves.
Yes.
And having to have the discipline.
Right. It's very, very difficult to have that discipline if it's something that is of your family's and to just be like, what do I do?
Right, right.
What do I do?
Well, we can take a short break, and when we get back, I'd like to talk more about the recycling part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I know that in my house, we recycle glass, aluminum, cardboard.
Right.
I have stashes around my house of other things I know can be recycled.
Exactly.
I'm waiting to find the right drive to go to, right? the right, you know, we have a, Ellen Becker does have on Saturday, May 31st, we have a shred and recycle day here out near our Pewaukee office. So you can look that up on ellenbecker.com. And that's a great way to get rid of very important and sensitive documents that can't just go into your household paper recycling.
Right.
As well as some electronic e-waste. Recycling and some things like that. Hearing aids, eyeglasses. So that's a drive. Again, just doing a little plug for May 31st for our EIG drive. And there's more to it. And we can talk about the other things that you know of that can be recycled when we come back.
Awesome.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Mindy Farrell, co-owner of Treasured Estates and Cleanouts. And Mindy, you've been doing a great job of walking us through what it means to clean out a property, what it means to resell things, right? To do estate sales or back-end sales from things that you take in to remove, how to curate donations, right? And make sure they go to a place that's really going to get the most use out of it and how to use that as generosity. We started to talk a bit about some recycling and electronics recycling. I know you do scrap metal. I got a couple questions for you on that.
Sure.
Anything else that you recycle? So walk us through your recycling process.
So anything within a house. So you have your glass, you have your cardboard. You know, we recycle as much of that as possible. Sometimes you can't recycle something if it's already been soiled or is in really bad condition. So we try to make sure that we get those to the where they properly need to go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we like to make sure that it's all landing in the proper place as much as possible.
Right. You don't want to recycle something that really shouldn't be recycled.
Correct.
Because that's going to contaminate the stuff that can be recycled.
The stuff that can be, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of same issue that we all need to remember when we do our recycling in our own home.
Yeah. So, and then we have the electronic or the metal scrapping side of it, which is something that we will do fundraisers for. We would have the Boy Scouts or whoever it is, they would contact us. We set up a date and a time. Most of our scrap drives are Saturdays from 10 to 2, whenever we set them up. And we bring our trucks out. We have the cars drive through. You don't even have to get out of your car. And we pull it all out, put it in the proper places. So one of the things that people think of that, you know, doesn't go anywhere are the flat screen TVs. What do you do with all your flat screen TVs that are broken because they're not made to last for very long?
Right.
And you can't just throw them out to the curb because you'll get charged a huge amount. So we take those in and we take those apart. A lot of the scrap we're able to take down further from what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we can help break it down, take it where it needs to go. And, you know, aluminum cans or all these other things that you think about recycling, we are able to do that. And what do you do with all your old cell phones that don't work anymore? I'm sure if you looked in 10 of your drawers in your kitchen, you must have cords of all sorts.
Cords are a problem.
You know, what do you do with those?
And we just got new phones at our house, and it's the whole new plug.
Correct.
So all these cords that have very few devices that can, they can even be used on in our house anymore. And what do we do? So we have a big box of them waiting for a drive like you have.
Yep.
And even like Ellen Becker has at the end of May, like I mentioned before. But
yeah, we have multiple scrap drives throughout the year. I think November is probably the latest that we would do a scrap drive, depending on the weather.
Yeah.
Since, you know, we've got to be outside for about 4 hours. But
yeah,
we are able to take all sorts of different things. You know, the outdoor chairs that have broken, or you have anything that's rusted metal or items like that, what do you do? You know, we were talking before about off microphone. What do you do with the microphones or cords that have broken? You can't just toss those out. Computers. What do you do with old computers and laptops? We can provide a certificate of destruction. So you don't have to worry about the hard drives or anything or any of your information getting out. So we make sure that that's all taken care of.
Yeah, the security on that is really important to not forget about.
Yes.
I also think that's why we hold on to so many things like old cell phones, thinking I've got a lot of data on there.
Right.
Right. And what do I do to make sure that that's properly secured?
Yes.
You know, as I get rid of things. Scrap metal, I know another group I'm involved with that is an environmental summit. They do scrap metal, and I kept thinking, what do we have to think of when it's scrap metal? I love that you just mentioned like lawn chairs.
Yes.
Because there's metal on those, and you're right. I have a broken one in my backyard. I don't know what to do with. I suppose I could take that to the a scrap metal drive. Right?
Yeah.
I'm doing a project in my basement, don't know why I took this on, but we're pulling the drop ceiling out of the ceiling, right? So it's all those
The little metal bars,
those metal like long plate things. And I was just working on that over the weekend, and I thought, what? this is what a scrap metal drive is for, right? I've seen people bring chain link fencing, right? Things like that. So
anything.
Stuff from old projects. I love that idea that you gave about the lawn chairs, because I just don't think that we always see that there's metal in there and that should go somewhere different than just a landfill.
Exactly. You know, or you have the old power tools that are broken and everything like that. We take car batteries as well. You can't just throw a car battery away, you know.
Sure.
The things that you don't know what to do with. And when we have scrap drives, we always encourage people, if you don't know, is it something that we can take or recycle? Give us a call. Right now, we don't take anything that contains Freon, because you have to have a special license to remove the Freon. So we don't take anything that has that. But we do have places that we can direct you to. Or we don't take like the big tube TVs or the CRT monitors.
Right.
But we do know where you can take those. And we get charged as a business. So you as a individual wouldn't get charged because you're just bringing one or two. So we are able to pass that on. You know, here's the company that will take it for you. But if I do it in bulk, then I'm going to get charged a huge, heavy fee. So we just pass that on.
And so many of the places that take those do have some sort of a small fee. But, you know, it's going to the right place.
Correct.
It's getting out of your house, right? That's always the thing to think of. What is the end goal? If we care about, you know, things like making sure, that the wrong types of stuff don't get put into landfills, because that all goes back it just all goes back into the ground, and there's all sorts of other things. Again, a whole different show we could have about what e-waste does.
Well,
to,
I mean, you talk about
water.
You talk about that. You know, quick thing is there was a little town where everybody was sick with all the same symptoms, and they couldn't figure it out. Well, they had found out that there was a bunch of copper that had gotten into the water, and everybody had copper poisoning. And once they figured that out, well, then they were able to treat everybody.
Right.
So, you know, that's the sort of stuff, too.
Yeah, so taking more time to make sure that we get rid of things the right way.
Yeah.
So tell me more about the fundraiser side. You mentioned working with nonprofits like the Boy Scouts. I know your website also talks about, like, Haws and different local organizations.
Right.
What is the actual funds part of that? How does that? How does your service raise funds for that organization, for that drive?
So each thing that's brought in has a price point. So just like plain scrap metal, where it's just the iron, is a price point. We have all the computers, the laptops, the tablets, the cell phones. We write everything down that has come in. And then there's a percentage that we give to the group for each item. So a laptop would be this per pound, and you will get this much per pound. You know, we have to make some sort of money, but we are making sure that the organization is getting a decent amount of money because we have to take care of breaking everything down. My business partner always says, we've had 4 hours of work here. Now I've got 40 hours of work to do to take everything apart and go from there. So, you know, we keep track of everything that comes in. So we break it all down to go, okay, well, you had these flat screen TVs, you know, you had 75 flat screen TVs, you had 35 monitors, you had 25 cell phones or whatever whatever you was brought in. And then there's all the other miscellaneous stuff that we go, okay, well, there was 75 pounds of cords. Okay.
Sure.
We can take that. And what people don't realize is there's more than just one type of cord. So there's different price points for all of that stuff too. So
that's great, though. And then that's a way for, you know, again, any of the listeners to this show that are involved in nonprofits, you know, that could be a way for them to look at how can they engage a company like yours to do something like that for them.
Definitely.
How could they best find out about any of your upcoming drives, your scrap drives, whether it's a nonprofit fundraiser or whatever you just do on your own?
It would be our Facebook page or our website.
Okay.
So you can find us at Treasured Estates and Cleanouts on Facebook. And then our website would be treasuredestateswi.com.
Okay.
You can look for us there. And we'll be posting our future scrap drives there. We're a little behind on everything, but it'll be there. And you can always call us or email or text us and ask us questions. So on our website, there's a contact us page. So just let us know what you would like.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we'll take a short break. And then when we come back, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit more about some of those other tips for do-it-yourselfers or things for people to think about.
Sure.
And then also even, you know, some of that emotional processing that people have to go through.
Sure.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Mindy Farrell, co-owner of Treasured Estates and Cleanout. Mindy, we have talked about so many things that I think have been super educational and informative for me, and I'm sure for our audience. As we think about, you know, kind of wrapping up here, I'd love to hear a bit more about tips on the sales side of things.
Okay.
Again, I think that there's a mix of stuff that has a lot of value, stuff that has no value, stuff that could be repurposed, could be recycled, all the different things. And when I think about anything that has value, it's got value for a price to the right person.
To the right person, right.
So when you think about the work that you do, and I know yours is on the back end, but if somebody were doing this themselves, how do you navigate that?
How do you navigate that? So I do have a lot of collectors and people that are in my pocketbook to know,
right?
Or not pocketbook, but my back pocket. So I'm able to call those people. But there are places out there that you can Google if you have a mid-century modern furniture or collectors and things like that. But part of sales is knowing who you can sell your stuff to and working with the collectors. And the whole reason I kind of ended up with my business partner is the Winnie the Pooh collector lives here in Waukesha, Wisconsin, which is really neat. And she's like, hey, you guys are doing the same thing. I think you guys would have fun. And so we ended up being business partners. So with the collectors and things like that, it's just knowing who to talk to and find out where to go for things. So I don't know if that's...
Right. Well, just as a side note, let's go back to the Winnie the Pooh collector. So tell me more about this particular person. You shared the story earlier with me, but I don't know how many of our listeners already know it.
So the lady who owns the Winnie the Pooh collection, she has 22,000 plus items. We've probably found at least 200, I think, items for her within that 22,000 collection. So it's really neat to work with people. And so she's in the Guinness Book of World Records. And so she's introduced us to other Guinness Book of World Record holders. So
collectors
of other things. And so, you know, we've been able to find a few things for the Smurf person who's...
I almost said Smurf.
Smurf,
that is
yeah.
so funny.
And what's
yeah.
really neat is she's also here in Wisconsin. She just lives up north. So, you know, it's kind of neat to know people who are in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
It's fun. You know, what I do is a very different thing compared to everybody else's job.
Right. I think that's super fun. You get to focus so much on relationship building, too.
Yes.
You know, having that network of collectors or mm-hmm. antique dealers or whomever it is
right.
that you work with. You had mentioned, again, when we were on a break, that you've got a warehouse that you
yes.
use for that.
For that. So people are able to, I've had people that come pick up the stuff that I have online on Facebook Marketplace,
mm-hmm.
and people walk in and they're like, oh, my word. Is everything for sale? And I say, yes, everything that you can see is mostly for sale. There might be a few things that I need to use in my facility, like my push carts and everything like that to
right.
move all of my furniture and stuff. But just about everything and anything that they see is for sale. And I have people that call me up and are like, hey, we came shopping at your place last week. Do you still have this, 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 and this? We would like to come pick it up because we told our friends about it.
Oh, sure.
I met a few people that someone came up from Chicago to come to our warehouse. And
mm-hmm.
she was like, hey, this ought to be fun. We're going to have an ice cream party at the place, and we have an ice cream parlor. So we're like, well, let's do a midnight shopping adventure at the warehouse.
Oh, that's fun.
So, you know, mm-hmm. they're talking about planning a shopping trip to the warehouse. So
that's fun.
You know, stuff like that. Right now it's by appointment only. We're
okay.
working on possibly having some warehouse sales.
Yeah.
So don't know exactly when, but if anybody needs anything, you can find us there.
And that's for individuals, collectors
okay. anybody, anything.
For anybody.
You know, whatever you're looking for, you just send us a message.
Yeah. Yep, it's a by appointment flea market in a way, right?
More or less, yeah. Yeah, and if you like to dig.
I love a good flea market.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, never know what
sure.
you're going to find out.
Exactly.
Always tell people.
Well, and we had just touched on how important relationships are on that side of it.
Yeah.
And I know how much you care for the people that you're working with
right.
on the clean out side.
Yeah.
There's so much emotion. The things we talked about, these life changes,
they're not easy, no,
right? Downsizing,
no.
losing somebody, you know, having to move out of, you know, maybe your parents are moving out of your childhood home.
Right.
You know, they're going to feel something, you're going to feel something. Like, again, with some of that ways to look at that act, right? And how
sure.
you help people through that on the emotional
sure.
side.
My thing is always wanting people to feel comfortable. You know, if you've lost someone, the first words out of my mouth that you're going to hear is our condolences. You know,
right.
mm-hmm. I've been through it. You know, it is a very painful process. It's very stressful. You know, we have become friends with so many of the people that we've done cleanouts for because we're in constant contact. Hey, we found this. We're going to leave it here in the kitchen for you to pick up. Or, hey, you know, did you know that Grandpa had his military stuff here? You know, what would you like to do with it? Mm-hmm. You know, or did you know that this Bible has all of your family history in it? You know, there are people that didn't even know that those things are there, and they are so thankful. And we love to just, I love to hear the stories about the families that we're cleaning out the houses for. It just makes it so much more fun, and mm-hmm. we're able to then, I'm able to connect with some of the stuff, and I go, oh, this, they just told me about this story about Grandpa. I think they're going to want this because they don't even know what this is. And with my family history and growing up next door to my great grandparents, I saw a lot of different things. I have mm-hmm. things that belong in the museum, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so when you tell people that, and it's like, oh, this piece here should go in a museum if you're not going to keep it. You know, this is something really neat.
Yeah, it's a different place
for it. You know, we really want to make sure that our clients are not just, you're not just a client, you're not just a number. You know, you are someone that we care about because you are in this emotional state, and we want to help make life easier. You know, one of our clients had said, you know, they were here and now they've become great friends.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's great. Life is so much better with supportive relationships, no matter what it is we're talking about, right? And like even the way that we work with clients here, it's about that long-term relationship. It's listening, it's support, mm-hmm. it's educating and informing.
Exactly.
Right? All the same things that you bring to your client base. And you're doing a lot of that heavy lifting, literally heavy lifting and hard work. You know, so not just sitting there patting someone on the head either, but you know, it's important. You know, Mindy, this has been great. I've appreciated us talking through this. I think the listeners are going to have really learned a lot, giving them something or some things to think about.
Sure.
And that's just been wonderful. If anybody wanted to contact you directly, mm-hmm. what's the best way for them to do that?
They can contact us through the website, which is www.treasuredestateswi.com, or they can find us on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And our phone numbers are listed on our website, so you can either call myself, Mindy, or Chris, and we'll set up a time to talk with you. And even if you just have any questions about what to do and how to go about things, I'm more than happy to walk anybody through anything that they need. So
that's amazing. Thank you so much.
I really
appreciate it. It's been a great discussion. So remember, Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and you want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, you can visit ellenbecker.com or call the office at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. And remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.